Well, if you've been around here for a little while at all, you know that we've been in this long-running series titled The Bible, A True Story. A series that kind of took us from the first book of the Bible, Genesis, all the way through to the last book of the Bible, Revelation. And a few weeks before Easter, we found ourselves looking at the letters to the seven churches in Revelation. And when we finished that last letter to the church of Laodicea, the final of the seven churches, I mentioned that this message may be our last message through this long-running series. And after a lot of prayer and time with the Lord, I have found that to be true. Now, I know there are some here in our church that hoped that I would dive a little deeper into the book of Revelation. But as I said from the very beginning of this series, that this is not a book-by-book, chapter-by-chapter walk through the Bible, but it's really been an overarching look at the Bible, at who God is and who He desires us to be. And maybe at some point down the road, God will lead me to do a more in-depth study through Revelation, but that will be a different series at a different time. And so after 5 years, okay, can you believe that? Over 5 years, a total of 149 messages, our series, The Bible, A True Story, has officially come to an end, all right? Which means today we're going to start a brand new series, and it's not going to last us 5 years and 149 messages, okay? But we're going to take some time to look at who God has called us to be as Dallas Four Square Church. And so I've simply titled this series, Our Core Values. Now, as many of you know, Stacy and I, we planted this church a little over 11 years ago. And when Stacy and I started this journey, we were asked to be a part of one of our district's very first church planting cohorts. Actually, it was the first church planting cohort. And as a part of that cohort, we were asked to develop a mission statement for our church. And then we were to come up with core values. What would our core values for our church be? Now, the mission statement, all right, that we were called to do, for some reason, came pretty easily. As I heard the Lord say right from the beginning, love me, love people, and do your best to extend my kingdom. And so that's our mission statement, right? To love God and to love people, to extend His kingdom. That came easy. But the core values were much more of a challenge for Stacy and I. When we first sat down, we just were like, what do we value? And we just started jotting all these things down. And when we were done, we had a list of 15 to 20, if not more, values. And it's like, well, how do we narrow this down? And in this process of trying to figure out our core values, I began asking other pastors, you know, how did you come up with your core values? How did you discover your core values? And one of my conversations with another pastor, he said something to me that I had never thought about. He said this, he said, if you value everything, then you really value nothing. Think about that for a moment, right? If you value everything, if everything is up at this level, well, then you really value nothing because it's all at the same level. And so that statement caused Stacy and I to really think about, okay, what are our core values? What are the values that God desires for this church? Yeah, there are a lot of things that are important and that we want our church to be about. But what are those core values that will define who we are as a church? And after many hours of praying and seeking the Lord, we narrowed it down to six core values that I think many of you are familiar with. But these were our six main core values. We value God's word. We value worship. We value obedience. We value people. We value authenticity. And we value simplicity. Those are our six core values. Now, after 11 years, the truth is these are still the values of Dallas Four Square Church. We still value God's word, worship, obedience, people, authenticity, and simplicity. But we've discovered something. We've discovered that all this time we've actually had seven core values. It was about a year ago. I can't remember exactly how long ago. Who knows? Sometimes I'll say it was a few months ago and it was a year ago. Sometimes I'll say a year ago and it was like 5 years ago. But I know it was about a year ago, sometime around a year ago. We were in a staff meeting. And I can't remember what we were talking about, but all of a sudden Stacy looked at me and she said, "You know, I am realizing we actually have seven core values." And I'm like, "What are you talking about? We've always had six core values. Come on. You know, honey, right? You know?" And so I'm looking at her kind of funny. I'm like, what do you mean? And she began to tell us that there is a value that we have had here from day one. It's just that we hadn't put it on our list. We hadn't identified it as one of our core values. And when she told me what it was, I was like, yeah, you're right. That is a core value. It's always been a core value of Dallas Four Square Church. Now, before I reveal what it is, I thought it would be kind of fun for those of you that have been here, that have been a part of Dallas Four Square Church, and no one if I told you, because I might have told one or two people this over the last couple years, but does anyone have any idea, if you've been here, what maybe that seventh core value is? Any thoughts? Just community, love. Those are great. I think people goes with community, and love is part of our mission statement, so it totally is one of our values, and it falls into all of those, I believe. Any other thoughts? Which could also be considered generosity, right? It's funny. When she said, I'm like, yes, we have always been a generous church. We've always been about a generosity. And the funny thing is this. When we did our core values, right, we named off our core values. And then I remember we had to kind of submit it. And then it was kind of like, well, how do you then carry out those values? And we said we'll carry out those values by loving generously, living generously, and giving generously. And if you ever saw a letterhead from Dallas Four Square Church, it said it from day one. Love generously, live generously, give generously. Day one, it's been one of our core values. We just hadn't identified it. And so now, generosity is going to be with our core values. We now have seven core values. And as we talk about core values, as we dive into this series called Our Core Values, I know many of you have seen these values pop up on the rotator before the service, which I got to change now because it only had six and now there's seven. But maybe you've seen them pop up before or after the service, or maybe you've been on the website and you've looked at our core values on the website and seen what our core values are. But the thing is, these words can mean different things to different people, right? And so the question is, what are we saying when we say we value worship, right? Because worship can mean so many different things to so many people. Or what are we saying when we say we value simplicity? Because if you wrap all of our core values together, that is the one that people have the toughest time with. What does that mean? What does it mean you value simplicity? And so what does it mean that we value these things? That's the main reason for our series, to help each of us understand what these values mean to us here at Dallas Four Square Church. And I think it's important, if we call Dallas Four Square Church our home church, then we should know and understand who we are and who God has called us to be, the values that we have. Because the truth is, it's easy to just show up and go through the motions and forget who God has called us to be. And as we grow, and as we have new people come and people go, it's important that we understand and know who God has called us to be and what it is we value as a church. Because the reality is, if we look at these values and say, I don't know if these are the same values that I have. If you're out there today and you look at these values and go, man, do I really value those things? Are those the same things I value? Then we may have to ask ourselves, is this where God is calling us to be, right? And if not, that's okay. Because yes, I love when new people walk in the door. Everybody is welcome. Everybody is loved. We love to grow. We want to be a church that continues to grow. But I don't want people to be here that aren't supposed to be here. One of our core values is obedience. And if people aren't called to be here, then we don't want you to be here. And that sounds bad, but what we're saying is we want you to be where God is calling you to be. We have amazing churches in our community. And so wherever God is calling, and do I hope that's here? Absolutely. We love when people are here and come and be a part of Dallas Four Square Church. But it comes back to our core values. Every church has core values. And so we have to go where God is calling us. And so we hope that as we look at these values, you can go, yes, that's what I want to be about. That's who I want to be. We got to go where God's calling us. We have to allow Him to use us in the way that He wants to. And so over the next 7 weeks, we're going to walk through each of these values so you can see what these values are. And hoping they'll give a better idea of who God has called us to be as a church. And so this morning, we get to start with the first one, God's Word, right? We value God's Word, His guide and direction for our life. That's what His Word is. And so the question here that we have to start with is, why do we value it? Why do we value God's Word? What is God's Word? Let me start by saying this. The Bible is not a rule book, okay? It's not a rule book. It's actually a storybook. That's why we titled our series through the Bible, The Bible, A True Story. God's Word tells us the story of who God is. It reveals who He's always been, right? And who He desires us to be. All throughout the Bible, God reveals Himself to us again and again and in different ways. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that it's living and active, right? It says that the Bible, His Word, is living and active. It's not just another book from a bookstore. It's the book, and it's what our lives as Christians are based on. And we need to understand that if we base our life on this, we should value it, right? And here's some things about the Bible. Even though it was written by 40 authors over three continents in three languages over 15 centuries, we believe it was inspired by God, right? And that's why we value it so deeply. Now, it consists of 66 books, right? From Genesis to Revelation. That's what we walk through our series. It consists of 773,692 words. Now, I believe that's the NIV translation because every translation is a little different and you range anywhere in there. But we're somewhere around the 770,000 words. And according to rabbinic Judaism, every word of Scripture has 70 phases and 600,000 meanings, right? Blows your mind, right? In other words, we serve an infinite God. And according to these early Jewish beliefs, we could spend every hour of every day for the rest of our lives reading the Bible and still not know and understand all there is to know and understand about the God we serve. He's that big. That's why we don't just read the Bible and then put it on the shelf. It's not a one-read kind of thing, right? It's living and active, and it continues to speak to us every time that we pick it up. It's why we read it here every Sunday and allow God to speak to us through it. Now, we believe that it's our guide, right? It's our compass, our script for life. It gives us direction and hope in a otherwise fallen and broken world. And as we read this story, we see that in the end, we really do live happily ever after, right? Many of us say, well, there's no such thing as happily ever after. Well, if you read to the end of this book, there is a happily ever after, right? And God wants to continue to write His story through us. In Psalm 139, the second part of it, it says this, "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Isn't that amazing? God has ordained or has an ordained story for our lives, and we have to choose whether or not we're going to live out that story. And the only way we can truly live it out is if we value His Word, that if we make this an important part of our life. You see, we give our time, we give our energy, we give our resources, we give our lives to what we value. And so, if we value this, we need to be diving into it and allowing it to speak to our lives. Now, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to Psalm 119. If not, we're going to put some of these, we're bouncing around so much today, we're going to put them on the screen as well. But as I was seeking how to talk about God's Word, He led me back to this chapter of Scripture, Psalm 119. Now, if you're not familiar with Psalm 119, it's the longest chapter in the Bible. It has 176 verses in all. Now, we're not going to read through all of Psalm 119 this morning. That would take us a while. But we are going to be looking at several different scriptures from Psalm 119 that talk about God's Word. And as I read through these verses, or these scriptures, as I was reading through them, there are six sections of Scripture we're going to look at that stood out to me and revealed six things that really tell us why we should value God's Word. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. The first was found in Psalm 119, 1 and 2. And so in Psalm 119, 1 and 2, it says this: "Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk in according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their heart." The first reason that we should value God's Word is because, number one, it brings blessing. Blessed are those who walk according to the law. Blessed are those who keep His statutes. Where do we find His laws and statutes? Right here in His Word. When we know God's Word and abide by God's Word, it brings blessing to our lives. Many of you have heard me talk about Pastor Ron Mell. He was a well-known Foursquare pastor who pastored at Beaverton Foursquare Church before he went to be with the Lord. And I had the privilege of hearing him speak a few different times in my early days as a youth pastor. And I know I've shared this before, but I love the story of what his mom said to him when he was heading off to college. She told him these words. She said, "If you want to experience God's blessing in your life, be blessable. Be blessable." In other words, live in a way that God would want to bless you. Joshua 1:8 says this: "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." When we value God's Word and live in its truth, it brings blessing to our lives. And I don't know about you, but I want to experience His blessings, right? The next verses that stood out to me were verses 9 and 11. This is what it says in verses 9 through 11 of 119. "How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands." In verse 11, "I have hidden your words in my heart that I might not sin against you." The second reason that we should value God's Word is because it helps us walk in purity. I've heard it said that God's Word will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from God's Word, right? Interesting saying, but God's Word actually exposes sin and shows us how to live in righteousness. We talked about this last week when we talked about living in the light. You see, without the Word, we're lost. Without the Word, we fail to see sin for what it is. Without His Word, we're going to fail and sin. But with His Word, we understand our need for righteousness. Doesn't mean we're not going to sin. It means that we know how to be forgiven of our sins and to walk in righteousness. We begin to understand the life that God has called us to live. And when we value His Word, we then begin to hide it in our heart. So like it says in verse 11, that we might not sin against God, that we do our best to live in the way that He's called us to live. And His Word becomes a part of who we are. And it actually helps us walk in purity. When we value God's Word and live according to it, it brings blessing and it helps us walk in purity. And then the next verse that stood out to me was verse 64, where it says this: "The earth is filled with your love, Lord. Teach me your decrees." The third reason we should value God's Word is because it reveals His love. It reveals His love to us. Now, all throughout Scripture, it tells us of His love for us. And Jesus Himself demonstrates that love for us in the Gospels, right? In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when He walked this earth, He shows us His love. And when we value God's Word, we can't help but value His love for us. And as we value His love for us, it helps us value His love for others. And when we value His love for others, we value loving others ourselves. See a pattern here, right? It's the purpose of our existence to love God and to love others. And when we do that according to His Word, the reality is His kingdom will be extended. It's the great commandments and the great commission. It's our mission statement, right? I think that's why it came so easily for Stacy and I, because we're called to love God and to love people to extend His kingdom. That's why we value God's Word, because it reveals His love and it helps us fulfill His mission for our lives. When we value God's Word and live according to it, it brings blessing. It helps us walk in purity. It reveals His love. And then the next verse that stood out to me, were verses 89 and 90. In Psalm 119, 89 through 90, it says this: "Your Word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth, and it endures." The fourth reason we should value God's Word is because it reveals His faithfulness. The thing that blows my mind when it comes to God's faithfulness is the fact that I fail Him time and time and time again, right? And even though I continue to fail, He remains faithful. He remains faithful. Mankind has turned their backs on Him again and again and again. But guess what? He remains faithful. And whether we acknowledge Him or not, He remains faithful. He continues to love us and He continues to seek us out. And when others give up on us, He doesn't. He remains faithful. And His Scriptures reveal His faithfulness. God's Word reveals His faithfulness. And it does it from the very beginning. When Adam and Eve fell, right? He began the process of redemption. And He is continually redeeming all of us. His Word shows us His faithfulness. And just the fact that His Word is still here, right? Today, thousands of years later, it demonstrates His faithfulness. Because many have tried to destroy it. Many have tried to discredit it. But it lives on as a testimony of His faithfulness. And again, when we value God's word and live according to it, it brings blessing. It helps us walk in purity. It reveals his love. It reveals his faithfulness. And then the next verse that stood out to me was verse 105. It says this, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The fifth reason that we should value God's word is because it gives wisdom and direction. It gives us wisdom and direction to live life. A great scripture that identifies this is 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. This is what it says. "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Now, according to Paul here, who wrote 2 Timothy, there are three ways that the Bible gives wisdom and direction. Teaching, rebuking, and then correcting and training in righteousness lumps as one, which means this. Number one, it tells us what to do. That's the teaching. Number two, it tells us what not to do. That's the rebuking. And number three, it tells us what to do when we didn't do what we should have done in the first place, right? That is the correcting and training in righteousness. Now, some of you have heard me say that before, and I wish I could take credit for it, but again, that's a quote I got from Ron Mell. But it tells us what to do, what not to do, and what to do when we didn't do what we should have done in the first place. And it's important that we understand this, that the Bible does this for us, right? Because the fact is that there are voices out there in the world telling us how we should live our lives, telling us what's right, or telling us what they think is wrong. And the Bible is where we should go for these answers. The Bible is our guide when it comes to wisdom and direction in this world. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. It's the perfect script for each of our lives. You know, when they write scripts for movies and things, that there's constant rewrites, right? Guess what? The Bible doesn't need a rewrite, okay? It's the perfect script. Now, the problem is many of us have been following the wrong script. We've been following the script of our world, and our life is in need of a rewrite. And God's word is where we need to go for that rewrite. God's word is where we should go for wisdom and direction in our lives. When we value God's word and live according to it, it brings blessing. It helps us walk in purity. It reveals his love. It reveals his faithfulness, and it gives wisdom and direction. The final scripture that stuck out to me here in Psalm 119 was verse 165, which says this, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble." The sixth reason we should value God's word is because it gives us peace. Great peace have those who love your law. When we truly realize the value of God's word in our life, it enables us to experience his peace. And his peace is like no other peace. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." It's a peace that passes all understanding. When we read this story that God has given us, it gives us peace as we begin to understand who he is. It gives us peace knowing that even though we live in a fallen, broken world, God is still in control. It gives us peace knowing that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he is with us. And his word reminds us that he will never, ever leave us or forsake us. That should give us peace. It gives us peace when we read the end of the story, right? And find out that God and all His people win in the end. It is a happy, happily ever after story. Yeah, we may face ups and downs and challenges along the way, but when all is said and done, we win. We're victorious. Not because of anything we've done, but because of Him and His love for us. When all is said and done, we live happily ever after with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So when we value God's word and live according to it, it brings blessing. It helps us walk in purity. It reveals His love. It reveals His faithfulness. It gives wisdom and direction. And it gives us His peace. God's word is a powerful tool. And the truth is, we can't just know it, right? It's not just about knowing scriptures. We have to live it out. It has to be a part of our life. James 1:2 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says." Here's the thing. We have to let God's story become our story. We have to live out His word in our lives. Why? Because if we value God's word, then we value what it means to read it and to live it out. That's God's desire for our lives. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for just the truth that Your word speaks to us. Your word is so powerful. It's one of the reasons, it's one of our core values. And Lord, as we seek to talk over the next 7 weeks about our core values, Lord, we just pray that You continue to remind us why they are our core values, why they're important to us as a church, but more importantly, why they're important to You. Because we want to be obedient to You and Your commands upon our life, and we want to live the lives that You've called us to live. And so, Lord, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for Your word and the things that You're doing in and through our lives, and we just want to continue to grow in You. We want to continue to live out the values that You've placed, Lord. And in this, we're walking through values of our church, but maybe even in this, too, You'd begin to stir in each of us a desire to seek out what are our personal values? What are those things that we truly value as individuals to seek to live for our own lives, Lord? And so we thank You for just this reality that, Lord, You are calling us to something beyond ourselves, to live out a life that You desire us to live. May we choose to live the life that You have for us, not our life, not go off in directions that pull us away from You, but how do we live the life You've called us to live, Lord? And if there's anyone in this room that hasn't chosen to walk that life, that hasn't made You Lord and Savior of their life, Lord, that even in this moment right now, they would just realize their need for You, and that they would just make that decision right where they're at to say, "Yes, Lord, I want to follow You. I want to make You a value in my life." And so, Lord, we give You these things. We give You this word this morning. May You allow it to speak to each of us where we're at, Lord. We thank You. We praise You for what You're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.